We talk a lot, like a lot about saving for retirement. How much to save, where to invest, how to minimize or defer your taxes, blah, blah, blah. But we don't talk nearly enough about what happens in retirement when you're no longer accumulating, you are decumulating. And one part of this for many Canadians is going to be the conversion of their RSP into a RIF, a process that's mandatory by the time you hit 71. Carol Bazaar is Vice President, Tax, Estate, and Strategic Philanthropy at Mackenzie Investments. She joins us now to talk about this transition. Ooh, I like that, like a caterpillar to a butterfly. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Bruce.
I don't know if that metaphor works. Let's say that it does.
I don't know.
I like it. So let's start with the mechanics here. Someone's been accumulating for years and years and years. They've built up their RSP, and then ta-da, they hit a magical age. How does this work?
What happens, Bruce, is you have to open a new account. So you've got your RSP. Now you have to open a RIF because it's on a different system. With a RIF, you can no longer contribute. So you have to do the paperwork, you have to name your beneficiaries again, and then the RIF starts to figure out for you every year how much you have to take out and get taxed on.
So if I'm completely asleep at the wheel, will whatever investment company I'm with do that conversion? Will it, someone show up at my house and say, hey, you got to sign this paperwork, this has to happen?
No, you'll get a letter.
I'll get a letter, but I should be a bit more proactive than that.
Oh, totally, yeah. Because you want to make sure that, especially we talk about working with your advisor is going to look at that. It's all part of your retirement plan. How much do you need? How much do you want in retirement? Let's get your RIF going for you.
So when it is converted, it's still going to be in my online banking profile. I'm still going to get statements. All that will be the same. It's
correct.
Just a different structure. Now, you talk about the minimums. Let's go through what the minimums are and what the default is that they're going to start cutting me a check for if I'm not proactive about it.
Okay, so the withdrawals are based on your age and the value of your plan at the beginning of January. So there's a calculator, and all of the RIF providers take care of that for you. So it's based on a percentage under the Income Tax Act. So, for example, if you're age 71 and you open your RIF, you're not going to get anything this year. But starting January next year, at the age of 71, at the beginning of January, you're going to have to take 5.28% of the balance of your RIF.
Gotcha. So that balance would change over time, but that is the percentage.
Right.
And again, if I'm asleep at the wheel and I'm invested entirely in individual stocks, for example, what's the investment firm going to do? Are they going to start selling my shares and cut me a check? Yeah,
absolutely. They'll have to get the cash flow. So they will sell enough to make the payment out.
Does the payment come annually, or by default, does it come annually?
You can choose, but what most people do in retirement, because you're used to having a paycheck.
Yeah.
So make your RIF act like your paycheck. So if you get government money at the end of the month, maybe take your RIF paycheck on the 15th of the month.
What are some of the, what's the rationale for people taking more than that minimum? And I know I'm opening a can of worms here, because one of the things that many retirees have to sort out, especially those who are just retiring, they've been in the world long enough that their TFSA could be a material part of their retirement savings, company pension, all that stuff. Give us the case to, or I guess the thinking that needs to be done to find out, you know, maybe you chew through that RIF much faster because of these kinds of reasons.
Okay. So, Bruce, one of the reasons would be that maybe, like me, you don't have a spouse.
Mm.
So I likely, when I convert my RSP to a RIF, would take more than the minimum, because if I pass away, it's all taxable all at one time.
Right.
So I would take out more. Maybe it's a lifestyle choice that this is, you know, you in retirement, a couple want to take off and travel, or somebody wants to travel. They've got things they want to do, might take more than the minimum while they're early in their retirement, and then they can default back to the minimum later on.
how do you determine what you withdraw where? So I mentioned the TFSA, but in addition to that, a lot of people have non-registered investments. Right. And there's a there's a big tax question here about what the optimal balance is.
Exactly. So that's where it comes into the tax planning. What have you got? Where are you holding it? So if you're going to if you're riffing and maybe you've got old age security, you want to hold dividend paying stocks in your riff, not your non-reg, because the gross up value of your dividend is what will trigger the OAS clawback. Interest income is highly taxed. Hold that in your riff. But then as to where you take the money out, you want to be able to plan your taxes so you minimize the tax. So maybe it's minimal RIF, non-reg, you're going to get capital gains or capital losses. So you might want to utilize that. And many people, I'm finding, Bruce, are keeping the TFSA as kind of their own insurance policy.
Right. Because the tax, it's after-tax income that went in there, and it's tax-free as it grows, so it gives you some more flexibility. Now, a lot of seniors, just the mention of the acronym RIF gets them very, very feisty. Mm-hmm. What's the source of their annoyance? Is it that they feel like they have to take too big a withdrawal?
The source of the annoyance actually is that they have to start generating the taxable income. Mm. Especially for a lot of people who continue to work after the age of 71, they're going to lose all that money to tax. So the age of 71 is simply a government rule because the government doesn't want to wait to get the tax revenue forever through your when you're saving for your retirement. So they said, okay, 71, we want you to start taking the money. But a lot of people will take their RIF payment, pay tax on it, and top up, throw it into their TFSA if they don't need it.
Mm. What happens to a RIF upon death? You mentioned if you don't have a spouse, there is a different dynamic than if you do.
Mm-hmm. So with a RIF or with an RSP, anything like that, the RIF of the deceased spouse can be rolled tax deferred over to a surviving spouse.
Right.
Or another qualified beneficiary. If you have a financially dependent minor grandchild, maybe, or a financially dependent disabled child or grandchild, you can roll that into either an RDSP, Registered Disability Savings Plan, on a tax deferral, or into an RSP for them. And then the tax burden goes to them.
And if in the case where that isn't your circumstance, the RIF then becomes a part of the state, I assume that is it deemed sold? And then in the final tax return, that income gets declared and taxed?
Right. It's called deemed disposed. So the value the day before you pass, like the evening of the day before you die, that's the value that gets taken 100% into your income on your final tax return. So if it's quite large, you can lose in Ontario 53.5% of it to tax, which leaves less for your estate.
There is so much discussion in Canada these days about the role of full service advisors, robo advisors, fee only, fee based, all that kind of stuff. And there is a very compelling case to be made on accumulation that it's tough for advisors to prove the value of their worth. It seems a whole heck of a lot easier to prove your value when you're talking about decumulation.
Oh, totally. Because then it becomes a tax conversation with your client. It also becomes an estate planning conversation with your client. What do you want done with your RIF now? Because in the accumulation stage, as you know, Bruce, it's like people are busy saving.
Yeah.
Now it comes to what makes sense for me to take this money out? Should I take more? Should I base the RIF payments, which you can do, on a younger spouse so that it lasts longer and you take out less? So there are a few things that advisors can help with that maybe a robo-advisor doesn't have a tip on, something like that.
Yeah, very interesting. Carol, thank you for your time and your insight.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity, Bruce.
Take care. Carol Bazaire, the Vice President of Tax, Estate, and Strategic Philanthropy at Mackenzie Investments. Our focus was on decumulation, and in particular, when it's time to convert that RSP to a RIF.